Morning. It's good to be with you today. We're certainly glad that you're here and glad to have all the visitors with us that we have today. We're honored that you're here and hope that you can come back any opportunity that you have. As we have been doing the past several weeks, we have been looking at the study of elders and deacons. That is coming to a close. We'll have a couple more lessons on that. Well, today we're going to talk about the shepherd's responsibility to the sheep. And next Sunday, Lord willing, we'll be talking about the sheep's responsibility to the shepherds. And so those are the last two lessons that I'll have on this subject for now. So the work of an elder is something that is very important, as we've discussed in the past several weeks. And it's good to understand that it's not a position or a title, but it's a work. And it's important to look at it that way. It's a good work. It's a serious work, and it's an important one, and it's one that the Lord set up to be part of the organization of the local church. And as we've discussed in other lessons, it's something that's so important that men should desire that work and desire to have the qualities that that make you prepared for that. It's not something that happens overnight. It happens over many years of maturing spiritually and taking care of those things that help you to mature and to fit those qualifications. So it's a good thing, and it takes preparation. And one of the terms that is used for this position, we've mentioned here and we'll talk about it this morning, is the word shepherd. There's other terms that refer to the same work: elder, overseer, pastor. But we're going to look today at the word shepherd. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 2, Peter says, "Shepherd the flock that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly." So this word certainly does help embody what the work of an elder is to be. They are to shepherd. And there might be ideas sometimes that the elders run the congregation or they manage the congregation. I don't think that's really the right view of an elder. It is that they are to shepherd. And what does it mean to shepherd? In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4, it says, "When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." And certainly, looking at the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ, is a way for us to understand what the role of a shepherd is. And as you probably noticed this morning, we read the 23rd Psalm for our scripture reading. That is probably one of the most familiar passages in the Bible. You hear it read quite often, especially at funerals for some reason. But it's certainly familiar to us. And I think looking at this psalm, we can uncover some responsibilities that shepherds of the flock must have and use to fulfill their responsibilities. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. So, first of all, we want to note in Psalm 23 that shepherds must lead the sheep. Obviously, that's really the number one thing that a shepherd is to do. And when you look in the 23rd Psalm, you see it mentions leadership a couple of times. In verse 2, it says, "He leads me beside the still waters." And in verse 3, "He leads me in paths of righteousness." So that's the number one thing that a shepherd is to do. Why is that so important? Why is that so integral to shepherding? Because the sheep need somebody to lead them. We've discussed in the past, several years ago, we did a lesson based on Psalm 23 and a man that wrote a book about Psalm 23 and shepherding. It was a shepherd's view of Psalm 23. And we'll discuss some of those points in his book this morning throughout the lesson. So some of these points came from that, because I don't really know a whole lot about sheep. I can recognize one when I see one, but that's about it. But there's things about sheep that are very important when we look at this psalm, and I believe it helps us to understand it a little bit better. Now, sheep, if they are left in one place too long, what do? Well, they destroy the place that they graze. They become so accustomed to favorite spots that those grazing grounds become very well-worn, and so they don't need to stay in the same place for a long time. It, it hurts the ground, it hurts the area. The area becomes infested with parasites. The sheep become infected with worms. And in the end, it's going to be very harmful not only to the land, but to the sheep, because they're going to get sick. And so the greatest protection, according to those that know about sheep and shepherding, is for the shepherd to keep them on the move, that they need to keep leading them. And when you look at the role of a shepherd in a congregation, and we look at the shepherd's leading, that's important. Sometimes we need to be led. We need somebody to challenge us. We need somebody to provide an example, lest we become stagnant and become stale. I think we understand that sometimes in our places of business, our places of employment, that sometimes there are things that are done to keep us motivated, to keep moving us forward, and lest we become stale. So without leadership, without someone challenging you, you can become stagnant. You can become lifeless and you know, just go through the motion and get into a rut. And so when you look at what a shepherd does for sheep, the shepherd is leading them so that they keep moving. David also said in the psalm that the good shepherd leads beside still waters. Why is that so important? Well, a sheep's body is 70% water. And, you know, they do thrive in, you know, dry, you know, semi-arid areas, but they still require water. And sheep require water and get water from three different sources. First of all, they can get water from streams. And sometimes the streams are natural, but even then, if it's a natural stream, the shepherd has a responsibility to seek that out, to find that. And David says, he leads me beside still waters. He's going to help me find the nourishment that I need. He's going to help me find what it is that is going to help keep me alive. Secondly, sheep can drink from wells. How do we get wells? Well, we don't usually just find one unless you're very fortunate. You have to dig that. You have to prepare that. They don't get there on their own. You may find one, but somebody prepared it. And shepherds have to dig them and bale the water so that the sheep can drink. And they also get a lot of water from the dew off the grass. And the shepherd must prepare them for that too and take them to those areas where those fields are edible or they can get the water from that. So leading beside still waters is not something that's haphazard or an accident. But we also see in Jeremiah chapter 2, Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 13, the prophet says, "For my people have committed to, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water." So the picture here that we have in the psalm is this picture of quiet and still waters. It's, you know, you think of purity, you think of calmness, and something that is very good for the sheep. But Jeremiah says that there's water that can also be a problem, that there are sheep that can hew out their own cisterns, or specifically people of God that are not drinking from the right source. That's the idea here that the prophet says. They're drinking from the wrong source. They've made their own water source. What they're doing is they're forsaking the living waters of God and following their own desires. So the idea of the shepherd leading them beside still waters, they're getting it from the right source. And that's very important when we think about leadership, those that are going to lead us in the right direction. We're supposed to be a people that hunger and thirst for righteousness. Sometimes people hunger and thirst for other things. They're not really hungering and thirsting for righteousness. And the things that they're wanting are not going to be beneficial to them. That's where shepherds are to lead them into the right direction. And I think it's also interesting that we see that God uses this picture of sheep and a shepherd, because sheep are going to be led by a shepherd. That's just the way that works. You know, you could use another illustration. You know, what about cattle? How are cattle led? Are cattle led? No, they're driven, aren't they? You have to prod them. You have to get behind them and push them or do something behind them to get them to go. Sheep can be led. Cattle have to be driven and prodded and poked and pushed from behind. you know, it could be that shepherds could, in the church, could try the cattle method, you know, to prod people, to push people, but it's much better to lead them if people will be led. So it takes two for that to happen, doesn't it? It takes for somebody to be a leader, and it takes somebody to be willing to follow the leader. And if somebody's not leading properly, they may resort to prodding and pushing. But, you know, the sheep are going to hear the words of their shepherd. In John chapter 10, verses 3 and 4, referring to Christ, it says, "The sheep hear His voice, and He calls His own sheep by name and leads them out. When He has brought out all His own, He goes before them. And the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice." And that's a beautiful picture of leadership of Christ and for those that are willing to follow and be in subjection to Christ. It's a beautiful picture. But sadly, that's not always the way things play out. And I think that's why Peter pointed out in 1 Peter chapter 3, or 1 Peter chapter 5, rather, that shepherds must not domineer over the flock. The sheep are to follow the shepherd's lead and know the shepherd's voice. And that really assumes that the shepherd know the sheep and the sheep know the shepherd. And that's a good thing when everybody's working in harmony together toward the same goal. So we want to follow the shepherd because he is leading us. Also, we see that shepherds must feed the sheep. Verse 5 says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." And you know, as growing up and hearing this psalm read over and over, and when you think about a table being prepared, don't you usually think about your mom preparing a table for you, and there's all this food, that this is a picture of a table being prepared, and everything is there ready for you to banquet, and that you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. My enemies are going to sit there and watch me eat. Well, that's not really what's going on here in this. When we think about the context of this being sheep, what does this mean? It's not the picture of a banqueting hall for a feast, but it's talking about the tablelands in the mountains where the sheep are going to eat. And the higher feeding grounds that they eat at, usually in the spring and the summer, the preparing of the tablelands is about feeding. It's not about feasting at a table, but it's the tablelands that the sheep are going to eat at. So what happens is that the shepherds have to go ahead of the sheep and prepare that. It's not something that's automatically ready. What they do is shepherds will take salt and they take minerals to prepare the land, and they will feed the sheep well if they do that. What they have to do also is they have to make sure that the land is clear of predators, because they wouldn't want to take the sheep somewhere where they're going to get destroyed or they're going to get eaten by their enemies. And so when you see this idea of preparing the table in the face of my enemy, you get the idea that they are protected. Not only are they being fed, but they are being protected from their enemies. So the bottom line is it takes work. It takes work for the shepherd to do this. And so, you know, when you see Paul encouraging Timothy and Titus and other evangelists, Paul is trying to help them be prepared to proclaim the good news. And it's not just the responsibility of Timothy as an evangelist. Timothy also needs to get some help from the shepherds. The shepherds are responsible for the feeding. In fact, in Titus chapter 1 and verse 9, Titus chapter 1 and verse 9 says, "He must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it." So one of the things that we have discussed in looking at the qualifications of elders is that they need to be able to teach. And when they teach, they're able to feed. It's not just the responsibility of the evangelist to feed. It's a responsibility of the shepherd. And that's why Titus says that the elders must hold firm to the trustworthy word and give instruction in sound doctrine, rebuke those who contradict that sound doctrine. And you know, it's sad that in many areas, it may be that it's just the preacher or just one person that everybody's relying on that one person for guidance and feeding because the shepherds don't know how to feed. Or there's other people that don't know how to feed as well. And again, I want to compliment this congregation because we have so many men that are able to feed. We have so many men that are able to stand up and publicly proclaim the Word of God. And there are other, you know, we don't always realize the blessing of that because we're here and we maybe have tunnel vision or blinders on because we're here all the time, which is good. But you go to other places and, you know, we're coming up on spring break and there's lots of congregations in this area to have to call around and find somebody from another congregation to come and preach for them because they do not have men that are either willing or able to stand up and give a lesson now and then. And we certainly don't have that issue here. So the problem in some places is that you've got maybe one or two people that can provide the feeding of the Word of God. But shepherds have a responsibility. Congregations that have elders should have those men that have responsibility to be providing sound doctrine and to be providing protection as well. So it's a very sad thing when that's not available. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 11, Paul tells Timothy, "Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching." So the idea here is that there are elders that he says deserve double honor, especially those who are the ones doing the feeding, the ones that are also doing preaching and teaching. So if someday you want to be a shepherd, it's not about making budgets. It's not about, you know, learning how to run a business. It's about learning how to feed. And how to lead, and how to handle the Word of God, how to feed the sheep. Also, shepherds must protect the sheep. Psalm 23 and verse 5 says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." So, even though these predators are looking on, you know, these sheep are able to eat because of the shepherd's protection. Psalm 23, verse 4, you know, says that sheep can walk in the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil. And I know, you know, that's read a lot of times when somebody, you know, passes away or is about to pass away, and the peace that we have in that regard. And certainly, I think it's appropriate to talk about that. But really, that's not what's being talked about here in the context of these sheep. You know, these sheep that are being led up to through the valleys to these tablelands, you know, they're treacherous. And these valleys are some of the most treacherous lands that there are. You know, what could happen to a sheep that's traveling up to a tableland, you know, on a mountain? An avalanche, flash flood, whatever it be, rock slide, poisonous plants, predators that could ravage the flock. So the good shepherd is there, and what happens? The sheep don't have to fear. The sheep can be led to the food and not have to fear anything that's around them. And so that's a great thing. And so when it comes to the role of elders as shepherds, you know, there's the idea of protection, that they protect us from enemies. Well, how is that done? Well, to be led in paths of righteousness, and learn the Word of God so that we can avoid Satan's snare and we can recognize it when it's there. You know, Paul in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, he warned the Ephesian elders there to take care of the flock. He told those elders, "Be careful. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men, speaking twisted things, to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. So Paul is encouraging these Ephesian elders to take their responsibility seriously and to protect from the enemies that he knows are going to be there. There are enemies that are outside, and there are enemies, he says, from within. Titus chapter 1 talks about these enemies that are from within. It says that there are some that are subordinate, empty talkers, deceivers, especially those of the circumcision party. They must be silent, since they are upsetting whole families by teaching for shameful gain that which they ought not to teach. So the idea here is that if you want to be a shepherd, you have to learn to recognize the temptations and the snares and the dangers that Satan lays before the sheep and help them overcome that. You have to help others learn and understand errors that can pull them away from the rest of the flock. And so when there are sheep that are struggling, you want to be able to help them. So shepherds, very obvious when we look at a shepherd that's shepherding physical sheep, that is a responsibility of the shepherd, is to protect them. And it's also very obvious to us when we look at the scriptures that that's a responsibility of the shepherds of a congregation, is to protect the flock, to help them, you know, through teaching and warning of dangers. And, you know, another thing that comes into play that sometimes people don't want to discuss is the discipline that comes as a part of that. If you look in verse 4 of Psalm 23, even though I walk through the valley, well, the rod and the staff can be used to get a sheep, you know, back in line. David says the rod and the staff of the Lord comforted him. And, you know, what's the use of a rod? Well, one of the main uses of a rod was discipline. If a wayward sheep was heading into danger, the shepherd would hurl his rod through the air to send the sheep scurrying back in the right direction. And that's important. And too often today, it seems that congregations and shepherds are afraid to administer discipline because they fear that people won't like it. And there is time for discipline, and it's not something that's easy. I don't know that most parents like to discipline their kids. There may be some that do, but I think that's usually not true. But if a parent is a loving parent, discipline a child is one of the hardest things that you have to do. You don't want to do it, but you know that you need to do it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 4 through 13, we see that the Corinthian brethren were rebuked because they were leaving sin in the congregation. They were warned that the things that they were not doing in regard to sin were leavening the whole lump. What that means is that they were allowing things that were harmful to exist and not doing anything about it. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 4, when you were assembled in the name of the Lord Jesus, and my spirit is present with the power of our Lord Jesus, you are to deliver this man to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Cleanse out the unleavened, or cleanse out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are really unleavened. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. And so he goes on and tells them, you know, some specific things about you are not to associate with these kind of people. You're not to associate with sexually immoral people. And the ones that are among you, they need to be disciplined for these actions. He says, purge that evil person from among you. Was that something that everybody wanted to do? Obviously, they didn't, because they hadn't done it. But it was something that they needed to do. Part of the protection that a shepherd is to offer the flock is to remove the ones that are going to hurt the flock. And so if you want to be a shepherd, it takes some courage to do that, to do what needs to be done. You have to have courage, you have to have knowledge, you have to learn how to protect the sheep, and understand, as Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5, that the devil is like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. And so being a shepherd means that you're serving others by protecting them. Also, in the same light, shepherds must restore the sheep. Shepherds must restore the sheep. And this is also seen in Matthew chapter 9 in verse 36. It says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. This word helpless that we see in Matthew chapter 9 is Jesus looked at these crowds and he had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. The word helpless, it means to be cast down. And when it comes to physical sheep, shepherds will tell you that sheep can be easily cast down physically, that they can find a nice soft spot, they can stretch out to lie down, and sheep, because of their size and the wool, their center of gravity can shift, and it can roll over, and it can be unable to get back, get its feet back on the ground. So it's laying there, it's struggling, it's trying to get back up, and it's unable. And so restoring the sheep in a physical sense means helping them get back up when they can't get back up. And sheep are very prone to get into grass and brush, and the wool hangs in the brush and it can't get away. And the more it thrashes, you know, it's like Brer Rabbit in the briar patch, Brer Rabbit in the tar bay, he can't get out of that tar. And the more the sheep thrashes against those thorns and those bushes, it's going to die, because it can't get away unless the shepherd goes and removes it. The sheep will die from exhaustion without the help of the shepherd. So what does that mean? That the shepherd constantly has to know where those sheep are. The sheep wanders away, gets caught, can't get up. The shepherd needs to keep watch. He needs to be able to find that sheep. And Jesus uses that same kind of picture when he talks about the lost sheep in Luke chapter 15. When one is lost, and because of the love for that sheep, the shepherd goes and finds it. Luke chapter 15, verse 4, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go back to the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulder, rejoicing. That is a shepherd that's aware of his sheep. And the good shepherd will leave the 99 in the open country to find the one in order to restore it. That is such a big part of the shepherd's role. And really, this idea was the center of God's rebuke against the shepherds of Israel in Ezekiel chapter 34. They were supposed to be strengthening the weak. They were supposed to be strengthening the sick and binding up the injured and bringing back those who were straying and lost. Let's look at that. Ezekiel 34, verse 4. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. That's a very bleak picture of the shirking of the responsibility that they had. So restoring the sheep it really demonstrates the lack of selfishness that a shepherd needs to have. That a shepherd is going to be selfless and vigilant and travel the wilderness to restore the sheep. And it's really a great demonstration of service. Putting the sheep's needs first. Being there when the sheep are distressed and downcast. Also, the comfort that the shepherd provides the sheep is found in Psalm 23 and verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. The book that I referred to earlier, David Keller's book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, he explains four conditions that a sheep needs to have in order to be able to lie down. And it's interesting. But the sheep needs to be free from the care of outside attack. And it needs to be free from tension and friction from within the fold, free from hunger, and freedom from pests. Those are the four things that a sheep needs to be able to lie down in green pastures and be willing to lie down. Otherwise, it's going to be so nervous, it's not going to do that. It needs to be at peace to do that. The last point here is kind of interesting, that free from pest. How would you make a spiritual application out of that? The sheep would be attacked by flies and gnats and parasites. In Psalm 23 and verse 5, David says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows." So David spoke about his head being anointed with oil. And the anointing with oil in regard to a shepherd, this is something that a shepherd applied to sheep to ward off annoying pests. The shepherd works hard to protect his flock from those pests. And those things, you can imagine, I know most of us, if we're going outside in the summer to have a picnic, what's the first thing we think of? Well, we're going to take some bug spray, right? Or we're just not going to go at all because we don't think that we're thinking about the pest and the things that will bring to the situation, and some people may just decide to stay inside. Well, the idea here with these sheep is that the shepherd anoints them with oil because it helps protect them from pest, and it provides comfort for them. So when it comes to the spiritual work of a shepherd, this is something that really means that we're taking watch for people, that shepherds are watching out for everything that the sheep needs to make them, you could say, comfortable, make sure that they're not being harassed, that they are at peace, that they are receiving the food and nourishment that they need. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17 says, "Obey your leaders, submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls." So this is instruction to the sheep to obey your leaders and submit to them. Why? Because what they're doing is that they're looking out for you. They're keeping watch over your souls. They're being just like the good shepherd is doing here in Psalm 23, doing all the things for the sheep. You see, everything that's done here in Psalm 23 is not for the comfort of the shepherd. Everything that's done here in Psalm 23 is for the comfort and the safety and the protection of the sheep. And in a very real way, that is exactly what an elder or a shepherd's responsibility is to be. Hebrews says, they keep watch over you. And that word literally means to keep watch. It means like a night watchman, somebody that's not getting any sleep. So the job of a shepherd could be something that's very watchful, sometimes sleepless. So what that means to those who desire to be an elder one day is that they will have to learn to sacrifice themselves to restore and to comfort the sheep. And it also is very important for all the sheep to understand that the shepherd cares about them. And that's why we see this laid out so beautifully for us in Psalm 23. Of course, Jesus is the great shepherd. And God has always shepherded his people and gave them what it is that they need. Sometimes the sheep wander off. But God is ever vigilant in taking care of us. So this is really one of the most beautiful, beautiful passages in the Bible, and it's read a lot, and rightly so. There's a lot that can be learned about it, and certainly we can learn much about the responsibilities of those who shepherd the flock by looking at the example of the good shepherd here in Psalm 23. So being a shepherd is not something that provides you with rights. It provides you with responsibilities. It means that you are going to be a servant. It means that you're going to be a protector. You're going to be a feeder. And so these are things that we can learn from Psalm 23 about shepherds and sheep. Next week we will be talking about what is the responsibility of the sheep toward the shepherd. And I hope you can understand from the lesson today that the sheep should be grateful for the protection of the shepherd and what the shepherd does for them. And those congregations that are blessed with good elders, those in the congregation can be very thankful for the protection, the teaching, and all the responsibilities that go into that relationship that we have together. If today you're subject to the invitation of the gospel of Christ, and you haven't responded to that gospel, you don't really have the protection that you need of the good shepherd. This is something that belongs to those that are in the flock. And to be part of that, you need to be buried in baptism and arise to walk a new life. Be a child of God, and then you'll have that wonderful protection and guidance from the good shepherd and have a home in heaven in eternity. If we can help you in any way to do that, we'd invite you to come while we stand and sing.